They are not of the world, as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them, so they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus prayed that we might be unified in his truth, standing firm in the faith and strong in his word. In a world questioning the credibility of God's word, Christ's prayer is for his church to stand firm in unity and his word. This is The Answers Conversation, and I'm your host, Steve Hamm. We'll be answering the skeptical questions of our time, standing firm on the authority of God's word, and rejoicing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the word became flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Today we're going to talk about Jesus, his incarnation. He came into this world as a baby from independence to dependence. That is an amazing distance, one that is immeasurable. With me, I have Pastor Peter LaRufa, and Peter is the pastor of Newport Grace Fellowship, and that's just here in Northern Kentucky, and I have known Peter for quite some time. He is a great friend and a wonderful pastor. Really appreciate you being on with me today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. As I came into the parking lot, I checked in on social media and said the thing that you and I have in common is we both have a great face for radio.
You actually don't have a bad radio voice.
So, oh, well, hey, I try.
Yeah, but is that accent, if you're listening to this, you're hearing Peter and you hear, you know, like walk the dog and get a coffee. Right. That's the New Yorker in him.
I'm sure people listening only hear my accent. Right? Okay. That's the only one that's coming through, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, actually, it's about the closest accent to an Australian accent that you can find in America.
Oh, is that right?
I think. Anyway, we're going to talk about the incarnation.
I'm looking forward to it.
Because this is Christmas time, and I really wanted to talk about Jesus and his birth. Mm. And Peter, I thought you'd be great to chat to about this for our listeners, to encourage them in the wonderful richness that there is in the incarnation. So, you know, let's talk about that. Let's talk about, for instance, the nature and the role and the function of Jesus in this respect.
Yeah. So what you're referring to really is Christology, the person of Jesus Christ, the role, the nature of Jesus Christ. And it's something that people have wrestled with, I mean, for centuries. This is not a modern day argument. I mean, people were wrestling back in the third, fourth, early church, early centuries of the very, very young church, and came to many conclusions about Jesus Christ and his divine nature and his human nature that were heretical and wrong because they could not reconcile in their finite minds the fact that Jesus Christ would be fully God and fully man. So you have things like Ebionism, which is a false teaching that Jesus was 100% human but not divine. Then you have Docetism is the false teaching that Jesus was 100% God but not human. And then you have things that are in between, you know, that Jesus was 100% God but only partially human, that Jesus was not fully human or fully divine, but a combination of the two otherwise. I mean, and you could go on and on and on. But we read of this term, the God-man, which has its origin not necessarily in the Bible per se, but with Origen. So there's a pun for you.
Yeah.
Where he writes these words as he's speaking about the incarnation of Christ. The substance of a soul, then, being intermediate between God and the flesh, it being impossible for the nature of God to intermingle with a body without an instrument, the God-man is born. And that's the first occurrence, or at least the earliest writing, so far as I know, that we have this term God-man. And that was later affirmed in later councils as the hypostatic union, a theological term that gives reference to the fact that Jesus Christ has two natures, divine and human.
Now, that's really... We need to understand that is mind-blowing for people.
Absolutely mind-blowing.
And so let's not underestimate that. But It's also something that we see, don't we? Don't we see those two natures working when we read of the things that Jesus is doing, even on the cross and different aspects? We see them at work, don't we?
Absolutely. We see them at work, and they do not contradict one another. Mm-hmm. We can see Jesus Christ's deity in the pages of Scripture as he says things like in John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. Mm. And he's not referring to his age, of course. He's saying, I am Jehovah God. That's why the very next verse says they picked up stones to throw at him because he was claiming to be God. But then we also, as far as the incarnation is concerned, that specifically affirms Jesus's humanity. So we get that word incarnation from the Latin version of John 1:14. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. In Latin, the term would have referred more to the act of being made flesh. And we see this throughout the pages of Scripture. Jesus needed sleep. He was hungry. He needed physical protection when Mary and Joseph are told to flee to Egypt.
His body was just as breakable as yours and mine.
Absolutely. He sweat. He bled. He was still referred to as a man in the first century church not long after his resurrection.
You know, when it comes to things like that, I just think of, I opened our program with this thought, but John Owen, in his book, The Glory of Christ, he has this chapter on the condescension of Jesus from God to man, but in relation to his independence, to his dependence. And I sort of talked about that a little bit, but can you imagine being completely and utterly independent, of no need, which we understand God is, but Jesus even needed Mary's breast when he was a baby.
Right.
I mean, that there was absolute need.
Mm-hmm.
That is humanity right there.
Right, exactly. It's completely mind-blowing to think that the Creator, the Creator God, Jesus Christ, would come down and be dependent upon created beings, would later be nailed to a cross made of wood that he ultimately created. It's absolutely mind-blowing. You can understand why people in their finite minds, particularly those apart from faith, would wrestle with this and not be able to grasp it, because it is, as we've said several times, mind-blowing.
Mm. Well, there are many false teachings, and I think you've gone through, you know, just opening with some of them about, you know, Jesus and the incarnation. Is there any one of them or a couple you really want to hit on?
Not necessarily, just basically that the false teaching in general, all of these false teachings find their root in human reason over the Word of God. So people read things within the Word of God and say, I can't reconcile that, so therefore this must be true. It must be this. I see Jesus's divinity. I see his humanity. Mm. I see them both spoken of, but surely there must be one more than the other. You know, it's kind of like we get this picture of a Greek mythological feature that's half man, half animal. Maybe someone that's half God, half man, and that is the God-man. So we think 50%, 50% makes up a whole, when in reality, let your mind be blown by the Word of God. He is 100% God, 100% man. Accept the Word of God as it is.
As it is, yeah. And if you don't, for instance, you could think of the big mistakes that the Gnostics made. They would look at this world, they would see that it is an imperfect world, and so they would say that flesh is evil.
Right.
And that God cannot dwell in the flesh. Well, that's not understanding the truth that God actually created a perfect world and we're the ones that sinned.
Right.
So once you understand the truth of Scripture, you understand that Jesus isn't stepping into flesh as evil. He has come in the flesh.
That's right.
And we can believe that from the history that's in the Word of God.
Right. And it's important to realize that this is not just some heady issue that that religious scholars need to discuss. This is not just something that's limited to seminaries and people who want to discuss this in academic circles. This really has bearing to us. I was going to read something from the Word of God in 1 John chapter 4. Beginning in verse 1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." But now look at verse 2. "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. So there's a specific mention there in the Word of God to say that everyone that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, not in spirit, not in some other form, but in the flesh,
right,
that this would be evidence that this person is speaking truth.
And not just anyone called Jesus, Jesus who is the Messiah,
that's right,
has come in the flesh.
That's right. Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. That's what verse 2 says.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about that humanity of Jesus. Mm. It's actually necessary.
It is. It's most definitely necessary. It's not just something that you can say, oh, we can go either way on this. This is the difference between orthodoxy and heterodoxy. the main purpose of the incarnation, the main purpose of Jesus Christ coming into this world was to be our Savior. And without the incarnation, without Him coming in flesh, putting on the flesh, we would not have a Savior. This Sunday, in fact, I'm preaching on Galatians chapter 4, Galatians 4 beginning verse 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. So there's two things we see there. First, Jesus had to be born under the law, and Christ fulfilled the law in the flesh in my stead. He fulfilled the law. I have His perfect record, His imputed righteousness as my record because He took on my imperfect record and I take on His perfect record. But that was done in the flesh. That was done as He walked through life and dealt with every temptation that I deal with, yet He sinned not, is what the writer of Hebrews also tells us. And then verse, He also had to be a blood sacrifice in order for our sins to be forgiven. We read in Hebrews 9 and verse 22, that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. You cannot shed blood. You cannot have this blood sacrifice if Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh. So the incarnation of Christ is vitally important for people to embrace and see within the Word of God.
And who could possibly think up the watertight aspect of how we understand who Jesus is?
Yeah.
I mean, fully God, fully man, hypostatic union, but also born of a virgin.
Right.
Not taking on the sin of man.
Right.
Not even right from the very start.
Not at all.
Born of a virgin, living a sinless life.
That's right, where we would have a perfect nature. Whereas you and I, you know, of course, we read of Adam and Eve being sinners by choice, but not by nature. You and I, as a result of Adam's sin, being sinners by nature and therefore sinners by choice. Jesus Christ was neither a sinner by nature nor a sinner by choice.
It's just honestly amazing.
It is.
And He came that He might die.
That's right. That's right. And His parents, imagine His parents knowing that from the very, very beginning. That they are giving, you know, I often wonder how fully they understood that in those first months and first weeks of even just going through pregnancy and having Jesus within her womb, that she would be giving birth to the Lamb of God who would be shed for the sin of the world.
Really, Christmas is a great time, a great opportunity for Christians to share the gospel.
That's certainly true.
I mean, people are thinking about this, and we have the opportunity to share such an amazingly brilliant, watertight, incredible message of our Savior. His birth doesn't just mean birth, it means also death and resurrection.
That's right.
Which is incredible. Your children on Christmas morning are probably going to hear something. How do you convey this to kids?
We try to in a couple of different ways. We try to have time in the Word with them specifically, both leading up to Christmas during this Advent season, if you will, and then on Christmas Day, of course, and on Christmas Eve as well, reading through key passages in the Gospel that remind them of the real reason for the season, the real thing we're celebrating, the person we're celebrating, namely the God-man, Jesus Christ.
Well, thank you so much. Hey, do you want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas?
Oh, I'd love to wish everyone a very, very Merry Christmas, and may the Lord bless you and keep you as you celebrate the arrival of Jesus Christ in flesh, who came to take on the sin for sinners like you and me.
Amen. Merry Christmas, folks.
Merry Christmas.
If you want answers on this or any other subject, visit answersingenesis.org. That's answersingenesis.org.